Hello guys, how you doing? Welcome back to the podcast. It's your boy Uncle Kevin. Man, it's been a minute since I've done one of these. I've been busy, been working. Of course, just like everybody, been affected by the economic situation that I hope you haven't experienced, but some of us have started to experience, you know. For the past 2 years, we spent a long time talking about the recession coming, and it's finally here, you know. It's finally here. I hope you are doing well wherever you are. I don't mean to start this off bleak. You know, we want it all to be positive all the time, but it's time to face reality. You know, the last couple of podcasts that I did, I was making a lot of fun at the crypto guys as the crypto market was tanking, something that I foresaw coming because, you know, for me, my main argument against crypto was it's a technology that we do not understand, and that we were too early in the phase. And I think crypto will make a comeback at some point in the future. But I definitely did enjoy making fun of people until the joke was on me. You know, the beauty about life is that, you know, in my language, or in my native language, Shona in Zimbabwe, we say "sekaure maafa," you know, which simply means that you have to laugh at the disabled, at the handicapped, when they're dead or when you are dead, because essentially when you laugh at someone, karma will get you and come back at you. And that's what happened. And you're probably asking, what happened to me? Well, what happened to me was inflation in Canada became a thing. Right now, I think we are hitting 8%. Which is a massive boost compared to where we were in the past couple of years. You know, prices have gone up. The price of gas, I remember at some point gas was like $1.20. And in the past couple of months, we've been paying almost $2.34 for gas. And by gas, for those who are not in North America, it's petrol. They call gas out here, and we've been paying $2.30 for that. And what essentially happens with that is if my car, for example, used to be filled up with almost like $60, and putting $60 for the past couple of months has been doing nothing. It's like being putting it at a 3/4 tank. So that means the amount of money I had to put in my car just to operate it increased. And what also has happened is the cost of groceries has been going up. The cost of living has been going up in the city. I live in one of the most expensive cities, which is Vancouver, one of the most expensive cities in the world. And one of the challenges that we've had is the increase in prices, the increase in inflation has not resulted in an increase in income. You know, so the minimum wage right now is like $16.80 Canadian. But, you know, rentals are here to rent. To rent like a 2-bedroom apartment, you're looking at $2,000 to $3,000. So that means if you are making minimum wage, you don't really have a living wage in the city. So those things during the pandemic were not really a major factor for a lot of people, because you could essentially afford your rent and afford your expenses. But because we've moved on ish from the pandemic and we're now back to sort of normal, things have changed. So remember, in the pandemic you couldn't move, you couldn't do a lot of things. Now you have to move, now you need gas, now you need to be in places, and that means your spending has increased. However, the problem is your spending has increased, but the cost of what you're spending on has also increased, but your income hasn't. So if you're making $2,000 in the past 2 years, that $2,000 doesn't really afford you what it used to afford you. And we are having a lot of challenges with that. And it's time to make a lot of adjustments. And I've had to learn that, you know, the hard way. Other people will learn it. You know, as somebody who's always looking at finances, it's fascinating for me. When I look back, I'm like, yo, how did I not see these things coming? But the thing is, I did see them coming. But, you know, nobody really could have predicted the war in Ukraine and the impact it will have on especially people who create content. When, you know, a lot of Russians consume our content, and that took away AdSense. And, you know, once you lose that audience, it affects your income. And essentially, that's how you end up in a situation where you're like, whoa, I gotta make adjustments. But anyway, today we're not really here to talk about me. Today we're here to talk about an article that I saw that really fascinated me. And it said, the Bank of Canada increased policy interest rate by 100 basis points, which continuing quantitative tightening. The Bank of Canada today increased its target for the overnight rate to 2.5%, with the bank rate at 2.75% and the deposit rate to 2.5%. The bank is also continuing its policy of quantitative tightening. So for those of you asking, what is quantitative tightening? So it's essentially, we have two theories in economics, that's quantitative tightening and quantitative expansion. So in the most, for us to explain this to my five-year-old nephew, what I would say is, with quantitative expansion, what happens is, think of you having a credit card, and that credit card has a $1,000 limit, and then your bank, call it, I don't know, TD, or BMO, RBC, whoever calls you, and they're like, we're going to give you $5,000 on your credit card that you can go spend, and then that's quantitative expansion. So you now have $4,000 extra on your $1,000 that you can spend in credit. So the opposite of that is what they call quantitative tightening, where when TD calls you and says, hey, you know that $5,000 we gave you, we're taking away $4,000, and now you're left with $1,000 that you can spend. So whatever you're doing, you're essentially screwed in that situation, because you had based your lifestyle off of those certain living conditions that you had. So what happens in a quantitative tightening situation is, the government starts to squeeze the people at the top, and the people at the top will start squeezing the people at the bottom. And without the ability to borrow funds, a lot of people will start to suffer, because it means banks are not giving out new credit. And stemming out of a pandemic where a lot of people lost their income, a lot of people have had to rely on debt to survive. But now we're living in a situation whereby inflation is going up and a lot of businesses do not have access to capital. So that means all the growth we've been having has been hampered. And because the Bank of Canada is now trying to mitigate or alleviate the impacts of inflation, that ultimately impacts everybody down. And we're now just in a situation where everything is just going to be crazy, you know. Global inflation is higher, reflecting the impact of Russian invasion of Ukraine, ongoing supply constraints, and strong demand. Many central banks are tightening monetary policy to combat inflation, and the resulting tighter financial conditions are moderating economic growth in the United States. High inflation, rising interest rates are contributing to a slowdown in domestic demand. China's economy is being held by waves of restrictive measures to contain COVID-19 outbreaks. Oil prices remain high and volatile. The bank now expects global economic growth to slow about 3.5% this year, 2% in 2023, before strengthening in 3% in 2024. Further excess demand is built up in the Canadian economy. Labor markets are tight with record low unemployment rate, widespread labor shortages, and increasing wage pressures. With strong demand, businesses are passing on higher input and labor costs by raising prices. Consumption is robust, led by a rebound in spending on hard-to-distance services. Business investment is solid, and exports are being boosted by elevated commodity prices. The bank estimates that GDP grew about 4% in the second quarter. Growth is expected to slow down about 2% in the third quarter as consumption growth moderates and housing market activity pulls back, following unsustainable strength during the pandemic. So the other challenge that we're going to have is, if you're in Canada, you remember we had a thing called the CERB, in which the government put in money into the economy, money that was not earned. And essentially what's happening now is, like, the government is taking that money back. And by doing that, what it does is it helps curb the impacts of inflation. But what it does to the normal everyday person is, you are essentially running out of money. And one of the challenges that we're going to have, you know, with the recession is, a lot of people at the bottom are going to struggle because every day is just about survival at this point. It's not about, you know, it's because the government essentially cannot bail people out because that's what they did in the pandemic. So now we're in a situation whereby you have to make different moves in order to survive the time period that we are going in because there's not enough money to go around for everybody. So it's like we're now moving in a situation where a lot of people, a lot of businesses are going to fail and a lot of people are going to suffer because businesses fail, unemployment rises, and that results in certain bad businesses being pruned out. A lot of people who wanted to be entrepreneurs in this phase of time, life is going to be difficult because people will not have a lot of money to spend. And if you look at people who have mortgages, that 1% increase that the Bank of Canada introduced for someone who was paying $1,800, I read an article where they're like, my mortgage is now up $2,500, but when your mortgage is up $2,500 and your wage does not increase, that means you will start having to ask yourself, what are my priorities when it comes to spending? And in doing that, you will start having to release certain things and start to focus on certain things. So we live in interesting times. And I speak of Canada because that's the country that I'm in, but this is happening globally to each country as countries try to navigate the situation. The sad part is, you know, countries like America, Russia, and China affect the rest of the world because of the global economy that we live in. So essentially, everybody is probably going through the same thing. But, you know, for me, this podcast is not meant to bring you like, oh, we are in trouble, the world is ending. The main aspect of the podcast today is to say, listen, the recession is here, you know. The recession is here, and how do we find a way forward, and how do we make a way forward? The first thing that we need to discuss is definitions of these things, because as you read articles, listen to YouTube videos, watch podcasts and stuff like that, you will need to educate yourself on what's really going on. So you've probably heard that the market is crashing or a crash is happening. But the first thing we have to define is what a crash means. A crash simply means that the market has seen a decline of 35 to 60% in a period of 3 to 6 months. And if we look at this year from, we are now in July, so 6 months would have been, let's say, February, there has been a steady decline in the market. You know, if you look, for example, what happened with crypto, if you look at the markets, they've been in a steady decline, mainly post-pandemic, because what happened is a lot of people during the pandemic made a lot of money that they didn't earn. And once those programs started ending, people were not earning such amounts of money and had to go back to the situations they were pre the pandemic, which ultimately resulted in the markets crashing. And then also there are other factors, of course, like the war in Ukraine, the effects of COVID, you know, that have contributed to where we are and resulted in the market crashing. And then the next statement, like word you'll be hearing is recession. A recession simply means we've lived the economy has been in decline for a period of six months. So right now, based on, okay, we started seeing, you know, fundamental movements in the economy since February, January of this year. So it's easier to say, oh, yeah, the recession is here because the economies have been in decline. And then the next thing you will hear, I don't know how long this will last, how the recession will last, but if the recession goes on for 2 years, we then enter into what they call a depression. So you've probably heard of America's Great Depression. I think it was in the 1930s or 40s. You've heard about that. And that's something that we don't want to experience. We don't want to go through 2 years of a recession. That would just, you know, not feel good. And then another term that you might have heard is a black swan. A black swan is something that we cannot predict that has economic consequences. So a black swan is something like the pandemic was a black swan because, you know, I remember 2020, people were talking about this is the year to be great. This is, you know, this change of a decade. We're looking up and up. And then it happened. You know, it happened. The pandemic happened. And it's something that nobody saw coming or some people did see coming, but economically we were not ready for, and we had to adjust. And that's what a black swan is. They've happened over time and they keep on happening. However, the challenge that we're having now is we just survived the black swan into a recession that was due pre the black swan event happening, because the economy had been booming since 2008, essentially. So it's because the market works in cycles, and it was due to crash. You know, when you look at capitalism, and I bring this up because there are four freedoms that are promised by capitalism. That is the freedom to buy, the freedom to sell, the freedom to try, and the freedom to fail. In 2008, businesses and banks were not allowed to fail. But in this period of time, we've reached a period where banks and governments are like, hey, it's time to let businesses fail where failure is due. And the sad part is, when businesses fail, people lose their jobs. When businesses fail, it affects the people at the bottom. And those are the people that, you know, don't have a lot of savings, don't have a lot of money. You know, it's probably your first job out of college, out of the pandemic. And we are now in the situation that we find ourselves in. So with that said, we've spoken about what a recession is, and how it looks like, and how things are looking like right now. What I'm going to share moving forward is things that we can do, especially those who are not prepared or were not prepared. The best way to have prepared for the situation was to have a lot of cash in your bank. If you look at companies like Apple, Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, if you read their statements, they have a lot of cash in reserve, cash reserves. And this was not by mistake. Because they have smart people working with them, working for them, they could tell that a recession was coming, market downturn was coming. And the best way to have been prepared is to have cash, because what will happen in times like this is a lot of people will start selling, you know. A lot of people will be desperate to sell, A, their properties, B, their businesses, especially if the business becomes too expensive to run. And the people who stand to benefit are the people with the cash and can afford to buy assets in this period of time. However, if you are at the bottom of the pool, you're a recent college graduate, you know, you just got into the workforce, you work minimum wage or whatever, you know, the chances that you have a lot of cash with you are low. But, you know, the following is just for people who are facing economic hardships in this period of time, suggestions that you can think about. The first thing that has to happen is it's time to pivot and adjust. Right now, it's time to pivot. Whatever you're doing, it's time to graduate from that. Because if you're making minimum wage, the next 2 years are not going to be fun for you. Prices will continue to go up, and there won't be a lot of money to spend in the economy, and you cannot keep holding on to minimum wage. Either you're going to have to force your employees through negotiations to increase your wages to be able to cover the increasing costs, or it's time to find other careers. It's time to find other ways of making money, having side hustles, having side jobs. It's time to start thinking of different ways of making money, different ways of adjusting lifestyle. Because if you used to go to the club, if you used to do ABC, it might be time to start thinking about different ways of living your life in order to survive the time period that we're in. It's just time to start doing things a little bit different. Ways you can pivot is, A, by finding out, you know, what skills pay in today. Like, what do people need? What type of skills do people need? Do people need, you know, delivery drivers? Do people need, you know, I don't know, tutors for kids? You know, what skills pay today? Like, is Zoom still a thing? You know, we're going back now. Things are a little bit normal. What skills can you use and do that will help you make a little bit of extra money? So it's time to start looking into things like that. Content is big. It's time to start creating content for your business. If you're not creating content before, it's time to start thinking about different ways of communicating with your customers if you're a small business. it's also time to start creating your own content and being able to compete in the marketplace just to help yourself to move forward. In this period of time as well, if you're just employed, it's time to start learning how to sell services, the services that you offer your employer who's paying you $17, $16, whatever the minimum wage is, how can you sell that service to somebody else to buy it? This is the time to start thinking like an entrepreneur in order just to make extra cash, because you cannot survive on a single income when the cost of living keeps going up higher. You need to increase your income. The other thing that you have to start thinking about is income protection. How will you protect your income? How will you make sure that as businesses fail, you are ready for that? Because the employer that you're working for can wake up tomorrow and tell you that the business is shutting down. What are you going to do? You know, how will you protect your income? So you have to start thinking about these things and putting, you know, you have to start putting strategies in place to help you understand how you're going to navigate the new situation that we find ourselves in, you know. The next thing that you want to do is it's time to cut the fat. It's time to cut the fat. I'm sorry to say, but it's time to let go of non-priorities in your life, you know. If you had to pay an extra bill for Netflix, things, you know, every little extra bill that is unnecessary, it's time to cut it. It's time to literally start living within your means, because it's going to be tough 2 years if you don't. You know, I was given an example that, think about, you're in a meeting, right? You're having a one-on-one talk with somebody, and that person is now communicating with you, and your mind just wanders off and you're thinking about, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay my insurance? How am I going to pay my Wi-Fi? How am I going to pay this and that? It's time now, you know, to start cutting off a lot of that fat. You cannot be focused on 41 things. You got to bring it down to 9. You got to have 9 specific bills that you're constantly thinking about. Your rent, your car insurance, if you do need a car. If you don't, man, it's time to move on. You know, start using transit. Start doing stuff that helps you minimize your costs, because the costs keep going up. So you might as well just cut off a lot of your cash outflows. The next thing is it's time to start teaming up with the right people. It's time to start thinking about ways you can collaborate with people that helps you come up with new ideas. You know, it's time to start looking for new podcasts to listen to. It's time to start looking for new books to read. You know, just finding new information, hanging around people that help you with different information that helps you navigate the situation that we're facing. You know, it's time to have to really mitigate a lot of unnecessary movement and cut off unnecessary people, because this is the time. It's time for survival right now. It's time to be paranoid. The next thing is you need to double down with positive distractions. You know, people often say avoid distractions, but at this point in time, it's time to double down on positive distractions. What are positive distractions, you ask me? It's things like taking walks at a park, you know, allowing yourself time to be happy with things that don't cost money. Bowling, go do something that doesn't require you to pay, but allows you to be positively distracted. What that does is it freshens your mind and opens your eyes to different opportunities that you might not be seeing, you know. It's just time to allow yourself to live life, a better life, a life that's full of zeal and energy, because it's very easy to be bogged down by the stresses that economic downturns bring, you know. But at this point in time, it's really about focusing on how can I remain positive and how can I see, you know, a brighter future for myself. How do I navigate? It might be a rough end to 2022 and beginning of 2023. However, it's only by remaining positive and having a positive attitude that you will survive the next 2 years. To be honest with you, if you thought 2020 and 2021 were hard, 2020, 2022 and 2023 are really going to drive all of us mad. But we are not alone. You know, we are together. There are people that are prepared, there are people who are not prepared, and there are people who the situation just didn't allow you to be prepared, you know. These are some of the steps that you can take to think about how you are going to navigate. If you want a PDF version of this podcast, it will be available on my website, unclekevin.ca. Come through. You'll get a PDF of this with steps of how to look at the economy as we move forward. I'll be bringing more content. I'll be bringing talking more about recessions, bringing in guests to help us navigate the economy and the world as we're moving forward, because I really feel in the next year or so, yeah, things will be hard. But just because they're hard, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means we have to pivot. It just means that we have to make adjustments to how we've been living, and we need to find a different way of living. You know, it's not time to give up. It's not time to be scared. It's not time to be ignorant and hope that the government comes and helps, because the government will not do that. The government, in helping people, it's what has resulted in where we are. But we all just read the article that says the government of Canada is, you know, using the quantitative tightening process. That just means the government is not spending because it has to curb inflation, which was caused by the pandemic and also activities pre the pandemic. We live in situations where, in the city where I live, people who work minimum wage cannot dream of owning a house. And that's unheard of, you know, economically, that's unheard of, because the essence of it is people at least can work hard and earn a living that allows them to afford a house. But at this point in time, if you're making $16.80 an hour, that's almost like $2,000 a month, almost $24,000 a year. And on average, just a one-bedroom condo in Vancouver costs almost $800,000. And this is just a condo. Houses, it's like $4 million. So on a $24,000 income, I don't really know how you can even dream of owning a house in the city. So we are living in weird times, but there's always hope and positivity. There's always hope, you know, that things will turn around. But at this point in time, it's a matter of you and I just making the right financial decisions and getting the cash. Because what we need to survive in this recession is getting the cash. The more cash we can get, the better it is to have buffers and be prepared for if things do get worse or better. But having cash allows you to be ready for opportunities that arise wherever you are. Be it creating content. If you have cash, you're able to buy the equipment that you need to pay the teams that you need that helps you navigate the world that we are in. You know, so the main thing is it's time to pivot. It's time to make adjustments. It's time to cut off excess fat that's not needed. It's time to prioritize those expenses. And it's time to remain focused. Search content. Do your research. Read and be ready for whatever. With that said, it's been your boy, Uncle Kevin. Yeah, the podcast will be coming back, man, every Wednesday. I hope to have guests on Wednesdays, and then we'll do Talking Finance with Uncle Kevin every Monday so that we are prepared and we are together. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. I don't know where you get this podcast from, whether you're on YouTube, Spotify, everybody. I just want to say thank you. I've been seeing the support. It's massively appreciated. With that said, I hope you guys are having a good time. See you in the next one.